Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out.
No Cappy, no Hood today. I'm Jeff Meller alongside Connor McKnight.
What's up, Jeff?
Not much, Connor. It is the morning before Christmas Eve. I guess it'll actually be the day before the morning.
The eve of the
Christmas
eve.
Eve. Yes. The morning of the eve.
The morning of the eve of the
before
eve.
Christmas
That's
Eve.
That's right. I'm glad we agreed on the name of this show before we started the show. The morning of the eve of the eve of the eve.
I wish I just didn't mess it up, right? Before I went on the air with it. I wish I would have thought it out.
That's right. We won't air this one. We'll air the next
Let's
one.
Let's do the retake.
We'll redo it.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler?
Get it going, Tyler. Give me the music. Come on.
3, 2, and 1.
Is Christmas Eve more important?
Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Jeff?
Wait for it. Wait for it.
You got to wait for the post.
Good morning. On the day before the eve of Christmas Eve, I am Jeff Meller alongside Connor McKnight as
hey,
we are
Jeff.
In for Cap and Hood today here on ESPN 1000. What should we do? It is a little bit sparse here in the city of Chicago as we are inside the First Midwest Bank studio on ESPN 1000. And Connor, I do enjoy the holiday time of year, even though the Bears are not giving us much reason to be joyful about it.
No jolliness there.
The good thing is, though, in Chicago, you can always find something to talk about because the Bears organization as a whole cannot get out of its own way. And I think the real question now is we have, I think, for the most part, zoomed out as much as you can. This is all macro at this point, right? There's no micro to talk about. I mean, we probably will on Monday a little bit, but this is a macro question at this point, whether or not the Bears are going to make full sail changes when we get to January 10th.
I think that's an interesting way of looking at what's left for the Bears. I hadn't thought of it in those terms, right? What micro parts of evaluation of this team are left? And I could really only tell you one thing, maybe two. It's the development of Justin Fields, which I've said from the get-go, and I think a lot of people have. It's not like I'm the only person out here saying it, but that's the only thing I'm interested in all season. And I'm starting to get to the point where when you even look at the snap-by-snap of Justin Fields, and it's not Justin's fault, but it feels like a wasted season.
Yeah.
This feels meaningless. This feels like you're going to have to hit the restart button all over again, like you're just going to smash up on the Super Nintendo. Did you have the Super Nintendo? Were you smashing the reset on the Super Nintendo?
I had them all, but I'm original, man. I'm an OG with the
NES. The OG NES.
NES, brother.
See, I read you. That's cool. We never had the regular Nintendo.
You young pup.
Well, I was in that age group. I could have,
but by the time I was
7 and I was ready for my first system, the Super Nintendo was out.
Absolutely.
I conned the old man into getting us a Super Nintendo. I was like, I want a Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
But this Super Nintendo's got a longer cord on the controller.
Sure.
And Pop, you see where our TV is and how far back you got the couch. If you get the regular Nintendo, I'm going to be sitting so close to the television.
My vision will be gone by the time
it's going to be terrible for me.
I won't be able to drive.
So I got the Super Nintendo because it had the longer cord. It's
nice.
Probably the greatest con job other than staying here in Chicago
Very
and having
shrewd.
A career for 10 years that I've ever, ever, ever done. Getting that Super Nintendo.
Shrewd move by you.
You flip the reset button up and you just kind of hit it and that's your Justin Fields rookie season. Cool. And that sucks.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about it. And you laid it out perfectly there because I'm the same. I'm at the point now where watching Justin Fields, the Monday night game against the Vikings, there were way too many bad plays. The screenplay where he jumps up and that looked awful. I think, you know, when you send out one of those tweets where you're just like, you know that if people aren't watching with you, they'll have no idea what happened, but they'll be concerned about you.
Yes.
I think I tweeted out, "Oh my God," in all caps, because it was like, I have to get this off so quickly. I need to verbalize in some form that cannot happen. I cannot believe in his 10th start that that play is still occurring.
That's the tweet where Randy takes the screenshot of it and then fires it off in the group chat.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, does anybody know, is Mellor okay?
What's going on here?
Is he going to make his shift tomorrow? I'm a little worried about Randy. I'm a little worried about Jeff. And then everybody's like, nah, Randy's fine. It's just the Bears game kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
you must have missed that play. Yeah. No,
I was going to say, we had this whole discussion before the game. Kevin Seifert's article about Justin Fields, about the mistakes he was making. And then on cue, he makes those mistakes again on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that's right. Because, that article, which we spent quite a bit of time on Monday morning, talking about how brutal Justin Fields' numbers are in the QBR numbers. And that's a stat that's been around for 16 years. So you've got a little bit of time now. And certainly, you know, when you're amongst the five worst, and this was before Monday night's game, I guess the stats looked okay, but that's actually the one thing QBR is supposed to take into account is game situation. Although I guess they were always within two scores, so he probably got a little bit of boost in his QBR number.
QBR's got its critics. I'm one of them. I took a look at that. I listened to most of that show that you were doing with Yerk at the time, right? And I liked the breakdown of the numbers. I appreciate what Seifert was trying to put out there. I don't know that in context you can look at Fields' season, though, and go, oh, my God, this one number is bad, therefore he must be bad?
Yes.
I can't buy that. I brought up a stat with Hoodie yesterday, day before, something like that. Pro Football Focus had it, and they were ranking the percentage of routes that NFL-wide receivers have run where they are deemed to be open in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that radius is. I've looked through Pro Football Focus's website. Maybe I'm just the idiot and I can't find it. But whatever open is, right?
Yep.
The highest percentage of those routes are run by the Buccaneers, and they're run by the Packers, and they're run by the Rams, right? Hmm. Those are the top three teams that have open routes. And it's not an absurd number. It's like 54% leads the NFL, right?
Yep.
50, and you'd like that, right? More than, you know, you flip the coin, and more often than not,
you're throwing to an open wide receiver.
You're throwing to a relatively open wide receiver. I like that. You know where the Bears ranked on that list of percentage of routes run?
I haven't looked at this.
That are deemed open in the NFL.
But your setup, you know, I'm not good. Your setup here leads me to believe that they're woeful. And I would bet, tell me it's above 33%.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, boy.
It's not. They're worst in the NFL. Worst in the NFL.
That doesn't surprise
32nd
me.
32nd in the league. 36% of their routes are deemed open in terms of Pro Football Focus. That's the worst in football. So all that said, like, we're, you know, talking about the micro and the macro of Justin Fields and what's left in the NFL, all that kind of stuff. If you're telling me that no one is throwing to covered receivers more often than Justin Fields, then I'm going, clearly this is a scheme issue and a roster issue.
No doubt about it. And that is interesting, too, because when you start to think about it, and this is the other issue I've had with this entire season, which gets back to your point of this feels like a completely wasted season.
It does.
10 games into Justin Fields' career, is the fact that the other talents, I like Darnell Mooney. He's a good player. He's a fun guy, right?
He could catch the ball a little bit more often, but I have very few problems.
The eight drops, I'm not a huge fan of.
It's not great.
But truth be told, on most teams, he probably wouldn't have the opportunity to have eight drops because he would not be the guy who's getting force-fed the ball.
No.
You would hope to have... He should be the complementary deep threat who threatens defenses.
He's the guy who lines up in that Y spot and then moves into the slot in advantageous situations and dictates coverages.
And opens stuff underneath for your more dynamic wide receivers. Who, yes, I understand, should be Allen Robinson. He got hurt when... Whether or not, you know, he is, you know, this hurts, or if he could actually be out there if he had a long-term contract.
Fair question.
You know, that's, I think we're all wondering that.
I think it's a fair question.
That's the position you've put yourself in an organization. And you could, like, people, I'm sure plenty of people out there are like, Allen Robinson, you're a football player, getting paid, get out there. But at the same time, you know what? You made this much more difficult than it needed to be as Ryan Pace heading this organization,
you
right?
You are a Bears franchise who has just drafted the future at quarterback, and you didn't do everything you can to give him the best situation in his rookie season.
Maybe you didn't.
That's on the org.
Maybe you didn't want to pay Allen Robinson long term, but he was back this year, and you probably should have done a better job of finding a path where both parties were a little bit more happy.
What? You're 100%. Like, think about it this way. You have Justin Fields on his rookie contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters in the NFL. So if you have to sprinkle some dollars around the garden, right, if you got to put some money elsewhere so that this tree grows, That's what you do. That's where you spend your... You're getting a deal if you're spending a little bit more in every other place. Things like offensive line, signing that next guy to play swing tackle, investing just a little bit more in a wide receiver. Not trading for Jakeem Grant, but having that guy on the roster by signing him some... Maybe it's Breshad Perriman. Who knows? By signing him and putting him in a position to succeed from the get-go. You are now, because of your... frugality isn't the right word, because it's not just spending money.
Dollar allocation and your lack of foresight. How about that?
My God. Like, and a poor roster building. You are now setting Justin Fields behind by deciding to be just a little bit cheaper and figuring, oh, we can get by with this because we've got this scheme by Matt Nagy.
Like, what was the cutthroat cost that you needed to have Allen Robinson agree to where it was going to be acceptable? Because he was coming off of 2,000-yard seasons. Yeah, in the Bears' history... That list is not long of receivers who've... Is it Brandon Marshall, maybe Alshon Jeffrey?
I think that's it.
I'm trying to think if... I don't know if Johnny Morris ever did the back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. I'll have to go and look at his pro football
reference.
I'll
pull it up for you. You spin it. I'll get the reference
Allen
up.
Robinson has been somebody who has proven to you that you were... He was one of the few actual Ryan Pace good decisions you can point to and say, yeah, you know what? That was money well spent. Mm-hmm. Good job on you. Remember, a lot of people in that same free agency class, Sammy Watkins was the guy that a lot of people were hot after. The Bears, whether they wanted him as their first choice or not, they were able to land Allen Robinson, and he has been very productive up until this year as the Bears' lead wide receiver. Now, he's not on the field as much as you'd like this year, hamstringing Justin Fields, thus pushing Darnell Mooney forward, and we're seeing Darnell Mooney exposed for some of his limitations. And again, I'm not hating on Darnell Mooney. I like him as a player. I really like him as your number two option, and he's just... his catch radius, because of his size, through no fault of his own, is not where an elite wide receiver should be. So this goes all back to the point when they are the worst in the league at scheming guys open.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, it's multiplied by the fact that the talent on the field is not going to go... they're less likely to go win one-on-one routes for you.
Oh, God, yeah.
It is what we've seen play out. An absolute recipe for Justin Fields' rookie year.
And then you miss the Vikings throw, right? Where he misses him in the back corner of the end zone by a hair's breadth.
Are you talking about the one where he caught, but he lands out of bounds?
Tries to bring the shin down.
Yes.
Right, that whole thing. You're very close to a touchdown there. You're very close. It's the right read. It's a pretty good throw, back of the end zone, only your guy's coming down with it, right? Just you're checking all the boxes on that play, and you miss by just this much.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that drive shouldn't have been hanging on? Just this much.
Yes.
The game itself shouldn't have been hanging on just that much. You were in the red zone all damn night,
yep,
and you came up with nothing. Johnny Morris, by the way, in 62 went 889 receiving yards. 63 went 705, had that 1,200 in 64.
Of course, who could forget?
And then followed it up in 65 with 846. So close.
But no cigars.
Close, no cigars.
That's all right. So, yeah, so so he had proven to you that he was somebody who could be that featured wide receiver. Like, we could quibble about whether or not he's a top... probably not a top 10 wide receiver, but he's in that list of guys who could be a top 10 to 20 type talent for you. He's proven that, in my opinion.
Yeah, Robinson, in the right system, Allen becomes one of those elite guys with a quarterback who can get you the ball in a running game that works. Yes, he's a very good complimentary football player.
So they botched that, and that is clearly just one of the numbers of things that Ryan Pace has botched throughout his tenure here. That leads to the question that Adam Hoge touched on in his piece on NBC Sports, which you and I would like to get into. 312-332-3776. Feel free to join us today here on ESPN 1000. Connor McKnight, Jeff Meller in for Cap and Hoodie. We'll talk about Adam Hoge's piece about where Ryan Pace stands in this organization and where he may stand going forward. We'll do that next.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Hanging out here on ESPN 1000, I'm Jeff Meller along with Connor McKnight as we're in for Cap and Hoodie this morning. We'll also roll into the Carmen and Yurko show. We're here till noon today. And of course, we are discussing the Bears right now. I partially blame the NBA for postponing the Bulls and Raptors. I think we would have given them a little bit of our time this morning.
We would have given them a lot of our time this morning.
But
I was really looking forward to that. You know what I was really looking forward to?
It's a loose blame because I'm not mad at anybody for actually choosing safety over my entertainment, my selfish entertainment.
No one's mad. You just get a little frustrated when you go to work in the morning and you go, okay, it's fine. I was kind of looking forward to the debut of Mac McClung in a Bulls uniform.
There's a lot of guys who are getting 10-day contracts who are all of a sudden names we kind of have to figure out and learn.
For all the college basketball nerds, is your peak right now. These guys weren't even good in college, and they're getting a shot in the NBA
Can you? Do you have your own sneakers? Yes. Have you been in a gym in the last 4 months? Okay. Come on through. You've got a 10-day. And I was really looking forward to the Mac McClung debut because remember when Zion Williamson was all over your Instagram feeds, when it was just dunks over all these scrawny little kids? It was like, oh, is that me out there at a high school basketball court again? Like, oh my God.
You know, my favorite Mac McClung
slammed on.
The part of the Mac McClung timeline is everyone thought for a while he was Riff Raff's cousin. Riff Raff DM'd him on Instagram, I think it was, and says, let's just say we're cousins. Like, let's just put this out there.
And
there's this whole part of the Mac McClung timeline where, is he Riff Raff's cousin? Is he not Riff Raff's cousin?
That's absolutely amazing.
We have hit Tyler Aki's wheelhouse. I love it.
He's going. He's
this is all I'm good for right now.
Right now.
We will, at some point, get the McClung debut. It will happen.
Of course.
It will. We will have NBA games at some point.
We might get the Tyler Aki debut.
That's true.
Only because you and I have knees that are so, so bad at this point that they just disintegrate.
Joe Johnson played last night. You can lace him up.
Throwback. ISO Joe, baby.
I love that he just shook it a little, got himself to the free throw line extended, lifted one up, and put it down. That's it. That's your night. That'll do it. It's like watching YMCA ball all over again. I felt like part of the NBA schedule right now, you know, you go to the gyms where you're running the track above the basketball court.
Yep.
And you know that if you're at a place where the track's above the basketball, it is two things. It is old man hoopage, you know, with like sweatbands and knee pads and ass ball right down there.
A lot of back hair.
It's just dudes backing each other down into the elbow or into the block over and over again.
The Hanes plain white tees get a lot of run out there.
A lot of that.
Yeah. The old man strength on display.
Yep.
Not a lot of shooting.
Nope.
But a lot of old man strength, like you said, backing down. A
lot of underneath the hoop passing.
Yes.
A lot of champion
shorts. A
little pregame
mic and drill.
Yeah.
You don't see a whole lot of full court presses break out too often.
No, you don't. A lot of long passes. Not two dribbles and let go of the ball. That kind of thing.
Usually, after about 20 minutes into the game, when you hit the second half stage of the game, there's a lot of breakouts.
There is no limit on timeouts in a game like that.
A lot of Bill Walton outlet passes being put on display.
My favorite, I used to play, there's a gym down here on, Stetson, right? It's the gym. I think it used to be a Lakeshore Fitness. I don't know if it is or not anymore.
Okay.
Jordan used to play hoops in this. It's got the big glass, enclosed basketball court. And my favorite, I used to run down there badly, right? I mean, it's not long, not good. But you'd get to the point where in a game, guys would get a little winded. And you knew that somebody was about to scream and yell about a foul underneath when like 80% of the guys on the floor were just really winded.
No doubt, yes.
And they'd get in arguments. Everybody would get in an argument underneath the hoop about the foul that got committed. And there was no noise. Nobody hit anybody. But you just start arguing and screaming just to catch your breath.
Yes, yes.
And then this guy was screaming
foul
at this guy, and then he'd get out of breath from the screaming, so somebody else would have to take the argument up for him. And then once everybody had their breath back together, then you'd start running again and not acknowledge that all of this was just because everyone's so badly out of shape.
So, keep an eye out, because maybe you'll see some of those dudes out on the NBA floors.
The NBA, I love it. It's absolutely fantastic.
Move forward. But again, the Bulls and Raptors postponed last night, which leads us back to the Bears, as it always does. And we've been talking about Ryan Pace right now, and you had some thoughts about Adam Hoge's piece on NBC Sports.
So my guy Hoge Meister, he put this up on NBC Sports. And everybody's been talking about this brand new rule in the NFL that's just been, really codified here. The actual nuts and bolts of it are out now. And that's what Hogue kind of ran through. You know, he, along with many others, have had the report, the idea, the whispers that Ryan Pace's job, while it may not, he may not be on a wobbly chair necessarily, it may be that he's moved upstairs and replaced by a different GM and a new head coach brought in, right? That could be where we're at.
Yes, that possibility has been floated by multiple people who have some ties with the Bears organization. That is a possibility.
I mean, it's to the point where everybody who has it makes me think that that's where we're headed here. I mean, I've assumed that the default now is Ryan Pace moving upstairs, a new GM being brought in, and a new head coach with the approval of whatever that GM is.
Which scares the hell out of me.
I don't love it.
I mean,
I don't love it.
You know, I don't know what you can... It just seems weird that a guy who is, in my opinion, failed pretty badly at putting together a roster would be moved out of that spot, but kept in the organization. Why? Because, I don't know, he designed your practice facility. And, you know, again, like, my point is,
it's really nice, that practice.
I've been there. I agree. It's
the bathrooms are all new.
It's very, very nice.
They've painted all the walls.
It's as if an NFL franchise deserves a good practice facility. Money well spent. I've always said, though, if that is Ryan Pace's true talent, he should be an architect of buildings and not roster.
Oh, he's a great drywaller. He'll throw it up for you.
I mean, maybe just
seamless when you put the two sides together. It's, you can't even tell.
See, I don't know if that's the case, and maybe that's why he helped save the McCaskey expenses on the project, or if he's just, you know, he draws up those blueprints unlike any other. And
while that would be underwhelming, Ryan Pace being kicked upstairs, a GM being brought in, a new head coach coming in, it would also be the biggest change for the Bears front office and infrastructure in decades.
Yeah, I don't know what would be comparable. What would you say would be something that was more impactful?
When they reorganized whatever Ted Phillips' role was.
So that was 99, right?
I think so.
99, 2000. I think that was the year he became the team president.
I think that's right.
So
that's literal decades. We're talking two of them now. That's the biggest change in the Bears front office and football organization in decades, and it will still be monumentally underwhelming for many Bears fans.
Yes.
So the rule is that if you fired your head coach or informed your head coach that he's not coming back for the next season. You know, so teams that follow or that are in this criteria right now are the Las Vegas Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. And there will likely be more, but we'll see. With 2 weeks remaining, you can now interview for your head coaching vacancy. That didn't used to be the case. You used to wait until the season was over. Then you have to fit these interviews in with all of your playoff teams.
And then you had the weird part two where the best playoff teams, until last year, you had four of them who were getting byes.
That's right.
And they could only interview during their bye week, which was always odd because you had, because they were supposed to be focusing on their game plans.
But they're interviewing for this job over here.
So nobody ever really liked
that. They're filling out the application on the website.
And then oftentimes you'd be concerned that if that person you were interviewing's team went too deep into the playoffs, all of a sudden, oh no, there goes their timeline. If we hire them, if they're in the Super Bowl, they can't hire their coaching staff.
Then you've got other teams hiring their coaches.
So let's hire the guys on the teams that aren't quite as good as
the best teams because
they are going to be available to fill this position 2 weeks earlier.
Or you look for a college coach who's only been at Baylor for like a year or two, and then Matt Rhule gets hired in Carolina, and you're like, oh, don't worry, everything's fine.
He brings in the hot young OC Joe Brady from LSU.
14 weeks afterward. Joe Brady could get an interview for the Bears, by the way. So here are the rules. Here are the actual rules. And you tell me, Bears fans, you tell me, if you think the Bears are actually going to be able to capitalize on the rules as they exist now, you tell me if you think this franchise can make this work for them.
No, wait, that was premature. I'm sorry.
I have like a bunch of bullet points.
Let me hear the actual
Jeff,
rules.
Hold on. At 8 a.m. local time, Tuesday, December 28th, you and I are both working on the station that day. Teams with an open head coach position can request permission to interview a head coach candidate. The interview must be conducted virtually and cannot last more than 2 hours. Teams cannot request an interview with a current head coach, but they can request an interview with an interim head coach. Teams can deny permission for requested head coach interviews during week 17 and 18, but if they allow one team to interview a candidate, they must grant permission to any other requesting clubs as well. A head coach position is considered open if the head coach at the start of the season is no longer employed by the team or has been given notice that he'll no longer be with the team next season. Adam Hogue outlined those things for everybody at NBCSports.com. Those are the bullet points. Those are the rules. Those are the caveats of this brand new position in the NFL.
Which leads to the question, will the Bears inform Matt Nagy? They've never fired a coach in season. Will they be willing to inform him that his services will no longer be needed next year?
I guess technically speaking, you could have Matt Nagy finish out the season, be the interim head coach or the outgoing head coach for the last 2 weeks of the season by letting him know he won't be coming back.
Which is a little bit awkward. It's one, the
a
one
little
thing that
awkward.
It was concerning to me.
It was awkward. Patch.com had the report.
Week of Thanksgiving, that was always problematic. That was the part of the report that I thought was slightly askew, was the fact that I always thought it was certainly possible that the McCaskies had made the decision, we're moving on from Matt Nagy after the Lions game. The short work week, they didn't want to burden someone like Chris Tabor with having to put in an entire game plan. I always thought it was certainly feasible that somebody had a portion of that report correct, that they were considering parting ways with Matt Nagy in season after the Thanksgiving game. But I do believe the report where it was there was the inaccuracy in that was certainly that Nagy had been informed that that was the case.
Yeah,
I never believed that aspect of it. And I do think that getting out there may have turned the tide if it was truly even on the table. Like, that report being out there put the Bears in a position where George McCaskey had to go to the players, tell them it wasn't true awkwardly because that happened. Yeah. You know, we were having canceled walkthroughs the week of Thanksgiving. This was prior to COVID, the new variant creating all the havoc. So it was a very odd report. And so I never believed it was completely accurate, but I thought it had a tinge of being based in reality.
Yeah.
But it then played out the way it did. And we had to, you know, the Bears claim, okay, it was never true, and whether or not that can be refuted, who knows. But now it leads us to, if they actually want to interview head coaching candidates, as Adam Hoke has laid out there, is that all of a sudden, hey, do you want to do that? And if so, who's going to be the one doing the interviewing? Let's talk about that.
So you figure the Bears take advantage of this brand new rule with these caveats involved, with this virtual interview process working? 312-332-3776. That's the phone number. We're talking Bears with you on ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at Cap J-Hood. This is ESPN 1000.
He's Jeff Meller. I'm Connor McKnight. You got ESPN 1000 on the morning of the eve of Christmas Eve. I think that's what we're terming the show.
Yes.
That's going to be tough for McCardle up in imaging to do. It's a pretty long title for our show here that we're going to do once a year, I think.
Yeah, especially because I believe Joe is put in some vacation time as well.
Well, that's what we'll get it back.
That's why he took off, actually.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not dealing with that imaging.
That show name sucks. Listen. I don't really want to.
Listen, this is the inaugural edition
it is.
Of the morning.
Thank you for using the inaugural.
Listen,
I appreciate
no
that.
No problem. I'm glad you
accuracy
do, Connor.
Accuracy in language.
I love that you can appreciate that.
I dig
it's not the first annual. This is the inaugural.
It's the inaugural.
Morning
I appreciate
of the
that.
Eve before Christmas Eve show.
Oh, old friend ESPN of mine used to talk about that quite a lot. Hello, Chicago. It was fun for him. We were talking about the Bears because, you know, COVID.
I see hoodies rubbed off on you.
There you go. COVID canceled everything last night. No Bulls, Raptors. So we're talking about the Bears, 312-332-3776. And the question to you was kind of a straightforward one. And it's about the Bears management, front office, ownership, the whole McGilla. The NFL new head coaching interview rule is out. If a team has informed its coach or fired its coach in the final 2 weeks of the season, they can interview for their head coaching position. Now, there are two caveats that just to catch you up here if you're just tuning in. Here on the show that Adam Hoge found out on NBC Sports Chicago, and I find them interesting. At 8 a.m. local time, Tuesday, December 28th, teams with an open head coach position can request permission to interview. The interview has to be done virtually. It cannot last more than 2 hours. You cannot interview a current head coach. So
makes
Sean
sense.
Payton cannot be interviewed in this situation. But you could interview an interim head coach. So whoever's
Richie
running things for the Raiders can do that, and whoever's running things for the Jets, and it doesn't matter. So I ask you this.
How do you say his last name? I forgive me because I've read it multiple times. Is it Brascia? How do we say Richie Brascia? How do we, Raiders guy. Raiders interim head coach. Anybody?
Oh, that's a good
guys
question.
Know?
I was thinking Waddle. Doesn't have a Waddle of a friend named
yeah, that's,
Dickie Brascia?
That's right. That's why I'm getting it confused. Anyway, I derailed us. Back to that. The Bears are not going to ask Mark Davis for permission
no,
to interview his interim head coach.
No, I don't think they're going to. So I ask you, you think the Bears would even capitalize on this new rule. Who's conducting the two-hour Zoom interview on December 28th?
No, it's a fair question.
Is that Ryan Pace?
Is it George McCaskey?
Is it George? Is Ted Phillips doing it?
It can't be Ted. It cannot be Ted Phillips.
If it is those people, if it is any one of those people, what are they finding out about that interim head coach in a two-hour Zoom session?
We go in four boxes here? We go in
I think you go four
Ted,
boxes.
Ted, Ryan Pace.
I think you go the quad box.
George McCaskey, and then candidates.
I think you go the quad box. Candidates. I think you get Scott Hansen to mediate the interviews. Maybe you go five boxer. Or maybe Scott just kind of
like that.
Puts the camera on quiet, but he's asking the questions over voice. You get something like that?
I like Scott Hansen. I'm a fan of his work. I personally am an Andrew Siciliano
You're
guy.
You're a Siciliano guy. That makes
TV
sense.
Customer
makes
over
sense.
Here.
Listen, I got nothing against Andrew
sure.
Siciliano.
Nobody does.
Been a Hansen guy on account of the subscriptions.
No doubt. Yes, I'm being held hostage by DirecTV and the NFL package, but I got into that a little bit yesterday. It is a great question. I think Carl in Nashville wants to talk about that. Hey, Carl, what's going on, bud?
Carl, good to see you.
Oh, no. Carl, I'll put him
back. Hey,
there
yeah,
you go,
we
Carl.
Got you, Carl.
Did you mute us, Carl? No worries.
Hey, first of all, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's, everybody in Chicago. Miss you guys. But, dude, y'all been there long enough, man. This whole subject should be mute. We should move on to something else because I'm surprised that you all are surprised that the cheap-ass Bears are being the cheap-ass Bears. You know what they're going to do. You're talking about sprinkle a little money here. That family is made out of money, but they refuse to put money into that team. How can you draft a franchise player and not put things around him like, offensive line and wide receivers that can get open? Answer the question, the cheap-ass Bears.
So it's interesting. It's interesting, Carl, because I do think the salary cap really makes it impossible for any NFL franchise to really go cheap. There's a certain floor you have to hit in the NFL.
Yeah, that's true.
Where
that's true.
You have to put the money in the roster whether you like it or not. However, the places where you're not bound by any restrictions is in your coaching staff. And that is the one point where I'll say, Carl, you know what? They may still occasionally be a team that falls back on what they know, and that's being a little frugal.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
Because there is no, that's the one spot where if you want to try and take advantage of whatever, like we've seen, you know, Robert Kraft understands that he's, and maybe fine, it's Belichick, you'll pay him whatever you have to, but he makes, you know, in the neighborhood of $20 million a year as an NFL head coach.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears frequently like to find the coordinators and give them their first time opportunity. Now, John Fox was the exception, but I think they felt they had to do that just to save public face because of the whole Mark Trestman fiasco at that point.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it that way. I mean, does Bill Lazor blow anybody's hair back? You know, you've had a head coach there, Matt Nagy, whose offense has struggled for years,
mm-hmm.
three straight seasons leading up until this one. And, I mean, even in the first season, you're scoring 18.5, 20 points a game. I mean, it's
that
not
was
like
a mirage if ever an NFL head coach pulled one off.
Dude, you're absolutely right. And that's not to say that you couldn't have seen something in that first season of his. You know, you could squint and see an offense maybe developing and a quarterback whose rookie season was completely wasted. I'm talking about Mitch this time.
Not Justin.
Yeah, it's a different rookie season quarterback that had been completely wasted.
Deja vu.
The other thing, all over again. The other thing here is, too, look at Matt Nagy's offense in year one. If you take the touchdowns away that were scored by players that weren't on the offense.
Oh, yes, the defensive players. The special teams.
That were scored by offensive linemen who had dropped 60 pounds in the offseason to become a tight end for a year because why? I don't really know. Doesn't matter. Take those points away.
That happened.
And you go even further down the line of how many points they're able to score per game. All that to say, are you making the head coaching hires, the assistant coaching hires, the coordinating hires that you need to support the future of the franchise in Justin Fields?
It's a fair question, and I think at this point they clearly have not. And you read to the rules there that Adam Hoge laid out on NBCSports.com. It's interesting. What's the real incentive for an NFL franchise to allow the interview to happen? I know you want some. Like, listen, you want. I think a good business wants their employees to succeed. But the NFL is a little bit different, right? It's not your normal org where you're like encouraging people to go make themselves better, right?
Everybody knows. I think you're getting like everybody knows everybody. Like what is going to be determined or found out in a two-hour Zoom interview with Josh McDaniels that you didn't already know when you've already interviewed him once as an organization?
Yeah.
Like, how does that move things along? Now, if the counterpoint to that is, well, at least then Josh knows you're serious. I'm just picking Josh McDaniels as a placeholder,
listen,
right?
I like the name you picked.
Sure, so
I'm intrigued.
But, like, I know a lot of Bears fans don't. A lot of NFL fans are kind of done with Josh McDaniels. That's fine. I'm just picking him as a placeholder. He's a guy that's qualified to be interviewed under these rules. You've already done that with him.
Yep.
Now, if the counterpoint is, that way Josh knows you're serious and he knows that early on, okay, I'm willing to listen to that. And I would much rather have my NFL franchise, whichever one I'm rooting for, I would rather have my NFL franchise do more homework than necessary as opposed to less.
Yes. Yes.
Be overprepared in this league.
I think that's inarguable. Please.
But are you going to, and we've said this before too, just because you are the first team to hire a new head coach in this cycle doesn't mean you got it right.
Of course not. No.
Doesn't mean you got it right.
Yes. No, of course not. Let's try Matt, who's in Streamwood, wants to weigh in on this. Hey, Matt, what's going on, bud?
Hey, Connor. Hey, Miller. Thanks for taking my phone call, and happy holidays to you guys.
You too, Matt.
I wanted to ask, I know I heard Sylvie say that he has Lewis Riddick on his show today, and that's what I'm calling about, is that I hope they asked him, Lewis Riddick, if he can sit down with George, because I know when George did his interview at the end of last year, when he talked to Waddle and Sylvie, he said, when Sylvie asked him why Theo was not asked, you know, why he didn't ask Theo how he changed his organization around, he just said he didn't know. And I think that if Lewis Riddick seeks out George, just sits down with him for an hour, just to talk to him about his football operations, all that knowledge, he would not allow Ryan Pace to stay in his job. He would not let Ryan Pace to fail up and be ahead of the football operations, because his draft choices and his trading up and trading out, it's atrocious. He has no one picks of the 7 years. He has no number one picks that actually proceeded to get a second contract. I know Roquan's coming, but that's not enough in 7 years to have just one pick, and especially the first three rounds.
So
I'm just hoping that Lewis Riddick could sit down with George and all that experience and knowledge and just see, this guy needs to be part of the football operations, whether GM or part of the football operations.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, Matt. The one thing I'll say, too, like, for anybody who tries to really defend Ryan Pace's record as a GM and point out some of the successes, I think you have to look at this, whether it's, you know, maybe you go ahead and say, you know, use the analogy like it's a college course. Sometimes you have quizzes, right? And those aren't worth as much as the end of the year test. When you fail frequently on top 10 picks over and over again, however it came about, for whatever reason, that's on you as the GM, and it's more impactful than the few hits that you may have later in the draft. Your Tariq Cohen's.
I think that's a beautiful point.
Right?
Like,
I love a 10 out of 10 on a quiz, Connor, but if I go 40 out of 100 on the end of the year final, it's not going to work out well for me.
It's weighted a little heavier, isn't it?
Yeah.
You and I are both baseball guys, right? There's value over replacement player, correct?
Oh, yeah.
I think in the NFL, there's value over replacement GM.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys get those, you know, middle of the, you know, those front seven players that show up for a couple of years.
Sure.
You know, a defensive back like, it wasn't his draft pick, but like Adrian Amos, who was a well-representative box safety kind of guy. And maybe he does a few more things than that, right?
A Nick Kwiatkowski.
Why not?
Nice little pick. You know what, though?
A Cody Whitehair, he's been a little disappointing, but he's a representative NFL lineman, and he's not the biggest reason that you suck on the offensive
line.
Right? Those.
The Lyle Nichols. We could go through them. They're all solid NFL players.
A lot of GMs make those picks.
Yeah.
A lot of guys can make those picks.
Especially, Connor, when you get seven picks a year, whether or not you choose to make seven, that's your own, you know, that's your own creation. You probably should give yourself more shots to continue to find those guys, whether it's on purpose or not. Maybe you get lucky.
You know, Matt brought up a point here, though, about what Bears ownership might be able to learn about themselves if they embark on this 2-week interview process for a new head coach.
Mm.
We'll get to that next. It's ESPN 1000.
This hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Chicago's Big Ten team, Coach Collins and the Cats, host Michigan State and Tom Izzo on Sunday, January 2nd at Welsh Ryan Arena. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Connor McKnight and Jeff Meller here on ESPN 1000. In for Cap and Jay Hood. In about 12 minutes, we will be in for Carmen and Yurko and hanging out with you until noon.
Do we have to have a wardrobe change?
Yeah, wardrobe change. It's like a whole shift change in hockey. I'll climb over the glass, and you're going to go replace the goaltender.
So if we're going to be Carmen and Yurko, you have to do a lot less work. And at some point, maybe like fall asleep on the air, and then that'll be your go.
Crosstalk is going to be hard for us. I was going to do voices during transition.
Oh,
are you
so
do voices?
So we're not going to do part two of Catholic school memories.
I've been a part of some wild stuff on air, some stuff that I was just like, I don't know what we're doing right now, but it's entertaining and I enjoy it. Yesterday's four Catholics in a booth transition was one of my favorite 15 minutes I've ever done on air.
I had an enjoyable experience as well, reliving a lot of memories from my youth. Instead of crosstalk, because Connor and I will be on till noon today, we will give you a version of Bears crosstalk with Dan Weider. We'll do that.
That sounds good.
In 10 minutes from now. But so you were mentioning Lewis Riddick. The idea of talking with him.
Yeah, I like the idea. Well, so Matt called in earlier. We were talking about the new rule in the NFL where teams can interview head coaches 2 weeks left in the season if they've let their head coach go or let him know that he's on his way out. And Matt brought up an interesting point. It's like this idea that while you're interviewing people like Josh McDaniels or give me another name.
Oh, sorry, you threw
guys,
me.
Yeah, no,
I wish I had one off.
When you're interviewing
Brian Daboll,
guys who have been there for a while, guys who have a reputation in the league, guys who are looking for maybe their second head coaching job, you know, all that kind of stuff. Leslie Frazier, for
Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles, sure, that's a great name. Guys who've been in this league and have the rep. It might be that while you're having these 2 hour Zoom talks, you kind of hear a consistent theme.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to come to the Bears, I would like somebody who's in charge of the groceries that's not Ryan Pace. If I were to come to the Bears, here's the level of roster control I'd be looking for. If I were to come to the Bears, who would I be working with?
Yep.
Here are some names I'd like. Here are some people I work with. Maybe you find out in some of those interviews that the current structure you have is no longer tenable in today's NFL. That could be a benefit of reaching out and having those 2 hour Zoom talks starting 8 a.m. Sure. Tuesday morning.
Absolutely. There's really no downside, in my opinion, if you're the Bears. The only, you know, I guess, do you think they're going to take advantage of that the way they're currently constructed? I don't have any faith, Connor, that George McCaskey. I think there's, weirdly enough, I think they take a certain amount of pride in never having fired a head coach in season.
I think so, too.
Right? Like,
and I don't know why.
It's like a weird pat on the back for something that ultimately doesn't get you anywhere.
What pride do you have in never raising your hand and saying, you know what, got this one wrong? Who's proud of that?
And listen, oftentimes I understand the thought process of firing a coach in season probably doesn't result in a whole lot of tangible good things.
No.
Because whoever's going to have to take over is going to be on your staff, right? So they're going to have to just come in and do more work, right? And so, sure, there might be a slight shift in philosophy, but if you've got a coaching staff full of guys who haven't really had the head coaching experience themselves, and
right.
I would assume that if they made the change, it seems like Chris Tabor, because he was the one who subbed in for Matt Nagy, would be the guy who...
It wouldn't be Sean Desai. It's his first year as defensive coordinator in the first place.
You really going to go to Mike Pettine?
Like, maybe Bill Lazor, but do you want to pull more guys away from the offensive infrastructure while you've got your rookie quarterback suffering through the next couple of games?
Unless you were like, all right, we need a change of voice. Mike Pettine's done it before. He's going to... Maybe that would be the route they would have gone,
maybe,
right?
That's where you go, sure.
But I don't think you get a whole lot from doing it. Nevertheless, I don't think you should be taking pride in the fact that You've never had a coaching change in season when it's only resulted in one Super Bowl win in the history of the Super Bowl era, right?
Yeah,
you've never done it, but that doesn't mean you could not have in this current stretch. You're not the Steelers. Not having fired a coach in season doesn't mean that you've only had three in the organization's history.
Chuck Knoll, Cower, Tomlin.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
For like our lifetime and Waddle's lifetime,
mm-hmm.
that's it. I mean, that's all it's been. There's one thing I want to clear up, though, real quick, because I was talking about that interview process and what the Bears might learn reflectively about themselves. I don't mean to say that a Twitch user whose name I can't say on the air, but it's funny, pointed this out. You can't have head coaches hiring their own GMs. I don't mean to say that the prospective head coach would be hiring his own GM.
Yep.
I just mean that as you're interviewing these head coaches, and you're asking, what kind of guys would you like to work with? What sort of philosophies are you looking for? You're finding out about what this head coach, what this guy would be like as your head coach. You're going to hear, I think, some common themes about what exists with the Bears and what needs to be brought into that front office with a new regime. I think those common themes are going to let you know that the way you've done business the last little bit, you know, 20-odd years,
mm-hmm.
isn't working now.
I would also submit to you that if you get the head coaching hire correct, they very well could have a lot of input into the point where they may be hiring the GM. Look, I know he's one of one, Bill Belichick, but there is no doubt he is the GM, but he has someone oversee player personnel.
Is he one of one? This is a genuine question for you. Like, is Sean Payton not at that level? And I mean, not in terms of talent. I just mean in terms of decision making.
No. Listen, it's a great point because Mickey Loomis, he works hand in hand with him.
Pete Carroll, same thing. Yeah.
Pete Carroll's caught a lot of his own shots.
Listen, I love in terms of young head coaches. I'll throw down with Waddle in terms of who likes Kyle Shanahan more as head coach. I love Kyle Shanahan. Guess what?
He had the
opportunity to go ahead and select John Lynch. Right. He's the one who chose John Lynch to be his GM.
And not to say that this isn't does it work or doesn't work. That's not this segment, right? And time will tell on any of these decisions. But Matt Rhule went into Carolina with not the same level of connection with his GM, but pretty close. I mean, they hired Matt Rhule first.
Or
put more priority on having him than the other guy.
Andy Reid won the power struggle in KC. He's the one who got Brett Veach elevated to GM.
You think that was much of a struggle?
Well, listen.
I think Reid just kind of lifted himself over and said, here's where it's happening.
Yeah, John Dorsey's got to go. Like, I let's elevate Brett Veach. Nevertheless, it can work. I think you got to get the head coaching hire right. I don't know if George McCaskey will do that, but I hope he has the opportunity. I think we've all come to the conclusion it needs to happen on January 10th. Whether or not they take advantage of this two-week window, they'll have the opportunity to do so. We'll find out. You know who we'll ask? Let's ask Dan Weider what he thinks about what we've talked about. Also, where the Bears are at. Justin Fields dealing with an ankle injury as they head to Seattle. You can watch us on Twitch, which is brought to you by DraftKings. I'm Jeff Meller, along with Connor McKnight. We'll talk to Dan Weider in just 2 minutes.